What is up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Grace and the Gray podcast, where we use the black and white of scripture to speak truth into the gray areas of culture. I really do appreciate you stopping by, listening in. Today we talk about all kinds of things, mostly centered around the question of how does somebody pick a church? For some of us, it's been so long we don't even remember the process, but this may jog some memories about how you picked your church, or if you haven't picked a church, it may give you a little bit of guidance about how to do so. Hope you enjoy.
What is your favorite place to eat and why?
Home.
Oh.
Because cheap.
All right. Somebody else is paying. What's your second favorite place to eat?
Home. Because it's comfortable.
That sounds like more work. That sounds like you have to go to the grocery store with somebody else.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
It is a lot more work, depending on what you're cooking, especially. It's the dishes too. We have some stuff that's like a one pot recipe kind of thing, and that stuff is great. But then we have other stuff that's like, we love it. Look, we have this Sunday dish, and it's easy to make, but it takes like every pot in our house.
Oh man.
And pans and everything. It's just like rice and eggs with like a bunch of green onions cut up into it. And it's just like super simple. But yeah, the cleanup is by far the worst part of it.
That kind of sounds like hibachi.
Yeah, it's that without like the meat or vegetables, to be honest. It's a very, very straightforward dish, obviously. It's got those two things I just mentioned. I guess three if you count the green onions, but that's more of a garnish. But it's delicious. Yeah, but it's a pain to clean up after. You got a favorite place to eat?
I do. A few places come to mind, but I guess this one's kind of elusive for me. When I was in college,
the restaurant's moving.
Yeah.
Well, it's a food truck and you can't find it.
Well, it moved, but I block out my own failures, so I'm blaming on the restaurant.
Okay.
But I'm the one that moved.
Oh, gotcha.
When I was in Florida for school, I was around the corner from a restaurant called Payway. And I don't fault you if you don't. I've never heard of that.
It doesn't sound like a restaurant name.
It's
What does it sound like?
Payway. Like a gas station.
Oh, yeah. It does sound exactly like a gas. Is this just a gas station, James? They have the best taquitos.
No, gas stations only count in Texas for food.
Fair enough. Or Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
We got Buc-ee's.
Oh. Which comes from?
Texas.
News to me. I didn't know that. It makes sense, though.
Yeah, that's why the brisket.
That's why brisket.
Yep. No, Payway is spelled P-E-I-W-E-I. It's Asian.
Oh.
It is a diner version of P.F. Chang's. And that is the first place that I ever had Mongolian beef. And it was so good, and I was not prepared for how good it was going to be. That's why I ordered other places, is because that's how it was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the closest one to here is in the airport in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So, like, that's not close. I think we were in Raleigh one time, and I didn't have to go, so you know we ended up at like a Chick-fil-A or something.
Oh man!
But that's a place. It lives in my head more as a memory than it is an actual place I need to go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I have stuff like that. That's not like a regular like my favorite restaurant, but like really good experience. So I think of it when I think of like enjoyable restaurant experiences. We went to a place. Actually, I took like a random trip to Richmond, Virginia, of all places. Richmond's a cool town. The only reason we went to it, to be honest, is because we had done like our annual family Christmas trip like 2 years prior to that. And we did it in DC. And you drive past Richmond. And I looked at Richmond and thought, Richmond looks cool. And then we went there 2 years later just for that reason. Because everything is brick, which I don't. I think I've seen pictures of Boston that have that same kind of vibe where everything's just like kind of older brick and it's just a cool place to look at. But anyway, we went to a place called, I think it was called Foo Dog Ramen, and it was really good. We like ramen.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about ramen on this podcast before.
We have, like, yeah. Since I've been
you
on?
You did, yeah. So Faux Ramenal.
If
right?
we had merch,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we did merch, that needs to be on a t-shirt.
What?
Like yesterday.
We've talked about ramen.
We've discussed ramen on this podcast before.
Mm-hmm. Good marketing.
It'll happen again. I guarantee it.
I think my favorite, I can't remember, you said favorite place to eat. We love, my husband and I love going to Frog Hollow. The food is good. The atmosphere is good. The service is good.
What in the world is Frog Hollow?
Oh, it's on Broad Street in Augusta.
Okay.
It's at one end. And it's just like farm to table food. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. That's, I've never eaten at a place like that that has, as I understand it, their menu isn't set.
Right.
Like it rotates based on what's in season and you might get a different menu every time you go.
Yeah. Because we've been a couple times and the first time I went, I had a pecan crusted pork chop and it was delicious. And I've been back a few times.
Capital D.
And they haven't had it since. So, but I've had other good things there. So,
for you, this question won't apply because of the nature of your favorite, but, and it sounds like the same is for you though, now that I think about it. So you guys have like a thing that you get when you go to, or you have a thing that you get when you go to your place, which is Mongolian beef.
Right. And I do not because
you
I can't.
Do not. couldn't if you wanted to.
But it's all good.
Hmm. What's different about Mongolian beef than other beefs?
Asks the vegetarian.
Yeah. What are beefs? And what do they do?
I almost mooed.
Why didn't you?
Well, more merch down the drain.
Yep. Opportunity missed.
So Mongolian beef, and it varies based on who's making it and where you go and all that sort of thing, but it's generally, it's a little sweeter. So it's, the sauce that's in it has the same layers of flavor that you expect out of like most takeout Chinese dishes, but with a sweet element to it.
So it's the preparation. It's not like where the cow comes from. Like you can slaughter a cow in Fresno and cook it up Mongolian style.
Correct.
Okay.
You thought all these cows were
these from poor a very Mongolian cows, yeah. Well, what's so great about Mongolian cows anyway? What are they doing to those cows over there?
Those Mongols.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what does this have to do with
cool
so, what you did this weekend and what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah. So I guess the thought behind that icebreaker is places carry a certain like emotional attachment, emotional weight to you. As we've covered on this podcast before, I relate to everything through food. So that was my first thought. But we kind of had a similar question come up on our way home from the home group leader retreat that our church does annually for home group leaders, as you might expect. So basically, there's a weekend that we spend in Greenville. If you stay a second night, there's the opportunity for home group leaders to, you know, visit a church that's not in the area, see how people are doing things, have that opportunity to worship in a different setting. So my wife and I did that this past weekend on our way home, ultimately. We went to the place we did because somebody that we did ministry with, you know, drove to and from college on occasion, who now is married, has three kids, is a worship leader in a church in Greenville. We went to see him and his family, first time in several years that we've had an opportunity to meet up with him. That was wonderful. But on the way home, the question came up, if we were to like move to Greenville, would that be the church we go to? Mm. But also, I mean, on the way to this church that was on like Pleasantburg, the main drag through Greenville, we passed First Baptist, we passed a Methodist church that was like under a total sanctuary replacement is what it looked like. Next to them was an Elevation campus. I mean, there are options in the Greenville area. If you're looking for a church, you will find a church. And if you don't like that flavor, I bet there's another one that you'll like a little more. So that was kind of our question was, where would we start?
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, the church we went to, there were things we liked, there were things we had questions about, but the only connection we had to that church was the guy we knew and his family. So if he wasn't at that church, you know, we would have, you know, never gone through the doors of that particular one. We would have been somewhere else wherever he was serving. Mm-hmm. So question that grew out of that was, Well, how do you go about picking a church?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, is that a first world, 21st century problem?
Mm.
And if so, yeah. How do we tackle it?
Yeah. I'm just now realizing, partially as a result of the icebreaker, that the parallels don't end when it just comes to like making a choice between restaurants and churches. It's also like, you've got like worldwide franchises and you've got like regional franchises and you've got like it's just a little local shop kind of places, mm-hmm. with restaurants. Same thing with churches now. Here, and you list those churches.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are, you know, they're denominationally based, but others are just like, you've got Elevation, which is like a reasonable, I don't want to, maybe this is not the best way to describe it, but it's like a regional franchise kind of thing where it's like, oh yeah, they got locations all over the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've had that same debate going back to the food analogy about Cantina 76. I don't know if you've been. If you haven't, I hope you have a chance to. It's excellent. When my brother-in-law told me about it, he said, it's kind of a chain. And we got to looking at it, and we're like, there's four locations, and those locations are two in Columbia, one in Greenville, one in Charleston.
Yeah.
In my book, that's not a chain.
Yeah, but, it doesn't constitute.
But is it?
Yeah.
It's not Taco Bell,
no.
But it serves tacos, and it's you can.
That's what we call multi-site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a multi-site taco franchise.
Franchise.
Well, there are a lot of questions on social media, particularly within community groups like the Aiken Info page or Aiken Information, because you know those are two different groups. An anonymous person will go onto this group and say, hey, I'm looking for a church with X, Y, and Z. And so they're asking for recommendations. So I think that that's one way people find a church home is based on recommendations. And then they find someone that they know or trust, listen to their recommendation, and then give it a shot. Just my two cents.
So they go on social media to ask the questions?
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because most of them are anonymous.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
They don't want to be known as looking for
a church. Or maybe they already have a church home.
The scandal.
Just maybe. Some of them might be new to the area, and they don't trust us yet, so they don't want us to know their identity.
Yeah. Did you say the majority of them that ask that question are new to the area? I guess you wouldn't know for sure.
Yeah, you don't.
They say they are.
I don't know a percentage, but some do, some don't.
Yeah.
Some are new to the area looking for a church. And then there are some... They're specifically looking for a church with young adults. Some are looking for a great children's ministry or youth program. Interestingly, I don't remember seeing any that say, like, I'm looking for a thriving senior program.
Hmm.
Maybe that's because they're already rooted.
Or they're not on social media.
Nope. My grandmother, she's 74.
Is she on Facebook?
Oh, like 8 hours a day.
Holy cow.
Maybe not that much. Sorry, Mama.
She's on there at least. Yep. I don't know that I would go that route.
What would you do?
I don't know what I would do, but I know that like I wouldn't, if I'm posting on social media, even anonymously, like I don't trust anybody to give an honest answer. Mm-hmm. I trust people to have like...
It's all biased, right?
Yeah.
They're all self-promoting.
Let me guess,
you
want me to come to your church? Because mm-hmm. Obviously you think your church is the best option. You're there. It's like you're posting... on like a restaurant forum with a bunch of restaurant owners, where should I go for lunch today? It's like, you're going to get the mm-hmm. expected answers. So, and people will market their church the way they feel is most effective. And so if somebody's asking for a good kids program, you're going to say you have a good kids program, but
even if you're known for your Celebrate Recovery program.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're going to, unless you flat out, your church flat out does not offer the thing they're looking for,
yeah.
Then I doubt people would lie, because if you come to that church, then you're going to find mm-hmm. out quick. But yeah, I can't imagine taking that route to pick a church, but I also like, I have no idea what it looks like to pick a church other right. than like a very brief 4-year stint when I was in college and I was walking through picking a church. But that has its own complications because you're not even there all year.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really hard to build long-term community when you're in college as well, with people that are outside of like your classes and your college and stuff like that when it yeah. comes to church. So that's kind of a different beast or a different question. So I have almost no experience picking a church. Do you?
Well, that's part of what our discussion was on the way home, is that like we are at Cedar Creek today because our son, who is about to turn 18 now, was like, I want to try out the youth group there. So we ever came here in the first place because of him, which is interesting because I don't think he did not fit here as well as I think he had hoped. And he found another place that he goes with my father-in-law where, you know, he fits in great. He found his place and he found his people. But in the process, so did me and my wife. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting thing, but really wouldn't be a factor at this point with him about to turn 18. You know, it still matters, you know, what a church is doing to engage with children, with youth, teenagers, students, all that sort of thing. But it's not one of the leading factors in our decision making at this point.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that came to mind, I had a friend who grew up in this area, like I did in Baptist churches, went to the Clemson area and ended up, after he got married, at, I think it was Clemson Presbyterian. And shortly after they moved back to this area with their kids, they were in the process of starting to look for where they were going to engage in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we didn't think we would ever be in a Presbyterian church until they saw how deliberate the discipleship was there.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that it was like an understood thing that there were like sign up boards for people that were waiting to disciple people in their age group.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that the church was very actively programming. And they said, are you aware of anybody in the area or also anybody anywhere that you've heard of doing this level of intentional discipleship? And I'm like, well,
mm-hmm.
no, I'd like to tell you everybody is, but no.
Mm-hmm.
They had considered other factors in finding their church home, but it is an interesting thought.
So they, on the front end of trying to select something, they weren't actively thinking to themselves, our biggest thing is we need to find somewhere that specifically has like intention and design to their discipleship. But when they saw it, they realized that's fantastic. That's something that would push us in this direction.
Yeah. Well, they did ultimately, like when they were in Clemson, they were actively involved in that church.
Yeah.
And then when they moved here, that became the main thing they were looking for.
Because they had experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's interesting. The thing with selecting a church as well is for some people, some of your decisions are made like already going into the process, right? Some people are a little bit more open-handed when it comes to like denominational splits. Some people are very close-handed. So like if you're Catholic, it doesn't matter a lot. Honestly, you could just pick a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. You probably are gonna pick the one closest to your house. Or maybe there's a reason or two that you may go to the one across town instead, like friends or you like the priest there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some people are that way about any other Protestant denominations too, right? So you've narrowed it down to the fact that you want Chinese food. Like you're gonna have Chinese food. It's already mm-hmm. pre-decided. You just have to decide on the Chinese place.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the decision-making process is much more difficult if you're starting from ground zero and you're like, I don't know what kind of church I want to go to because I don't know what kind of Christian I am, so to speak.
If you're new in the faith too.
Yeah. But if you're new in the faith, you were probably new in the faith, I guess, hopefully, because somebody invested time in you and planted that seed. You're probably going to lean towards whatever that person was, I imagine. So even then, like you've got it pre-narrowed down. I guess I just mean to say, obviously, there's a ton of churches, but that part of the process probably narrows down a good bit.
Mm-hmm. This might be on my mind because we're in the middle of our marriage series at church, but what would you do if your spouse had strong feelings for one church and you had strong feelings for another?
Yeah. I personally know two people, and I don't want to say anything specific about them other than that is their experience, and they're walking through that right now.
So it's just a figure it out as you go. Yeah, the advisor.
I've seen them walk through varying levels of tension and trust. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard.
And I don't know the ins and outs of what their experience is right now. But my wife grew up in a very different church background than I did. She went to like a very conservative church. That was, Independent Baptist, or maybe not Independent Baptist, some kind of like very hyper-conservative Baptist, not quite, or maybe they would be considered fundamentalist, I really don't know. But that was the environment she grew up in. And then when we started dating in college, we just kind of went to churches more like the one that I grew up in. And she had been going to churches like that since she had started college, but she spent her entire life in that environment. Mm-hmm. And I still see ways that it affects the way she interacts with her own faith. It still obviously changes her because she grew up in that environment. It was mm-hmm. formative for her, but every now and then something will come up, but we don't have like that tension of like, I'm very passionate about like this teaching or this way of doing church.
Mm-hmm.
Was you and Simone met in church, right? So you were from the same spiritual environment.
Yeah. In that sense, she showed up one day at the church I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And then every step that we made together after that. So there wasn't really a reconciling sort of situation. I can think of a few instances where through various circumstances, spouses ended up at one church while the other had a significant tie to a different church.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of watched those things be resolved, but I don't know. Ironically, one of them was a musician at one church. Husband had started attending another church, and then an opportunity came up where she was able to be the musician in the same capacity at the church her husband was at, and now they're both at a different church. So, I mean...
Hmm. So, one yields or submits. I guess every case is different. I'm trying to give some helpful advice, but it's really everybody's own journey.
Yeah, or they mm-hmm. don't. I imagine there's some couples that have just decided, like, we're going to
you go here, I'll
thing.
Go there.
Yeah, because I also know couples that are made up of, somebody who has faith and somebody who doesn't, mm-hmm. right? And at least right now, they're just kind of managing that tension. And, I guess you don't know what happens because the story's not over for all of these situations.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if we look back to scripture, I think that's kind of where we started too, James, like, does the Bible inform us on how to choose a church, or is that one of our gray areas?
So I see that as a gray area, and I'm curious to hear what y'all have off the top of your heads, because I kind of sprung this topic last minute compared to some others, but like in Acts, we see a description, which I would not necessarily consider a prescription,
mm-hmm.
of like the church met together, they added to their numbers daily. We have instances where there are multiple churches in Acts, and I mean, the letters that Paul wrote were to the churches that he had planted in these different places. And, you know, we see some things like, you know, division within the body and some things like that. But on the whole, my understanding, which could be limited and incorrect at the same time, or some combination of those two, churches were centered on a location and not necessarily separated the way that we see them now. Separated may not be the best word for that, but we don't see distinctions between churches because of their differing interpretations
mm-hmm.
of things,
mm-hmm.
And traditions that are held to more closely by some than others, that sort of thing. It's really okay, we're in Ephesus, so we're the church
mm-hmm.
as it is in Ephesus, mm-hmm. and you know that's kind of it. So I don't personally see where the New Testament gives us a lot of framework other than laying out the doctrine that once we understand it, perhaps informs how we select or make judgment calls.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have like warnings against false teachings in some of Paul's letters, especially to like Timothy, who's like a leader in the church. So there's some general guidance, right? Like, but it gets difficult because it's like, okay, so don't pick a church with false teaching. I pretty much already had that one in my head. But yeah, no direct guidance and you don't have.
But if you're new to the faith, how do you know what's false teaching?
Yeah, exactly. So you either already knew that, but even if you're new to the faith, you know that you don't want a church with false teaching.
Right.
Yeah,
you just might accidentally end up at one.
Yeah. But you do have that barrier of needing to. And that's where, like I said, for most people that are new to the faith, they have a connection to a human being that walked them into that place in their life. I'm sure there are people, though, that don't, right? They watched a YouTube video on the internet and it convinced them. And then they're like, all right, well, what do I do with this now?
Yeah.
I would imagine those situations are few and far between. But yeah, the point being, we don't have a lot of biblical precedents for the idea of picking churches because there was no picking churches.
I wonder about the few and far between, though, because as in my role at church, I see some of the sources that lead people here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are now, this is the follow-up question. A lot of them are social media. Mm-hmm. I saw you, I heard of you on social media. Mm-hmm. Now, did you see us on social media and then check to see if any of your friends knew about this church and that's why you started coming? Or was it strictly online only and I showed up? I would think that people probably try to find one connection, but I know that there are people who show up, they don't know anybody and they are...
And they're not believers?
We don't have that.
Yeah, right.
That question, but it could be that...
We got to make them wear t-shirts from now on.
But there are some who say that they do not attend church and they heard of us on social media.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one, how brave. Like, I don't know that I could do that.
I wouldn't do that.
And it's interesting too. So, I mean, it does happen.
Yeah. And I wonder what the breakdown is as far as people who are like completely not believers, just showing up to church without any kind of like relational interaction that happens beforehand. Maybe it is a lot more common than I think. They are literally just guesses on my behalf. They're not based on hard data. I wonder how a person would end up in that situation though, right? Because yes, you may have people that are like, I learned about this church on social media. I didn't talk to anyone, but I ended up at this church, is different than I don't believe in God or I don't believe Christianity is true. Maybe I should try to find a church. Like,
yeah,
that like frame of mind or that like process of thinking is hard for me to wrap my head around if there are a bunch of people coming in that are doing that.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah, if you have like no context for like what false teaching is, though, you may just flip a coin.
Mm-hmm.
You may look at internet reviews. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're that person who does not believe in God or does not have faith, and then you go through a crisis, whatever your crisis may be, you find or you look for a church with a heart for that thing.
Oh, yeah.
That might be what draws you to that particular church. Like, even if you don't know if the Bible is true, you don't know if you believe what this pastor is saying, but this church is known for X.
Yeah.
You might give it a try.
Yeah.
At the risk of closing the conversation, this, I hear in what you guys have said, the same thing that I think my wife and I came back to in our discussion on the way home, which was, it boils down to connection. You know, we had our initial reason, our kid that wanted to see what youth looked like at that church as we drove by. So we came in and realized, oh yeah, they go here. These people go here. And, you know, realized that we knew more people here than, you know, what we thought just walking in cold necessarily. But that was 2019. So to be 6 years down the road from that, we now have friendships and relationships and in some cases like accountability reciprocals that like we've never had in a church before, or at least not this much of it, with people that are, you know, real about what they're struggling with in their life and what's going well in their life and sharing with them in that. Perhaps we would have experienced that somewhere else, just the same, maybe in a different way. But I think where we left it was the church that we visited while we were coming home from retreat. We ultimately went to because we had a connection there, but there's no other church that we know of in the Greenville area, at the very least, where we have a connection of any type. And those connections seem to make all the difference.
For sure. Because I guarantee you, you've seen an Elevation Worship reel or something on social media. But that's not, you didn't, that didn't draw you in enough to go try out that campus while you were there. You went with the personal connection.
It just goes to show you stuff, guys. That's a quote from a show, sorry, that neither of you have seen.
So we can't put that on merch, is what you're saying.
It's, I mean, you could.
Copyrighted.
I doubt it. We get away with it.
That's true.
It just goes to show you stuff. Stuff being relational connections make all the difference.